Hi, I'm Jeff Stelling and this is Football's Greatest. Each week I'll be sitting down with a legend to discuss and debate some of the best exponents of the beautiful game. This week I am back in the company of the one and only Chris Kamara. You can go back and watch and listen to his episode with me on greatest partnerships, but today he's going to tell us his top five unbelievable football moments.
The best game of football I have ever seen in my life. What a final. What an absolute great game that was. So you said to me, we're going to a couple of temples. I went, you are? What bar's that?
Yeah.
If it hadn't have been for that injury in the final against Nottingham Forest, Gazza would have ruled the world.
So, Cammy, unbelievable moments. There have been plenty of them. Some of them involving you and I. But let's talk about an unbelievable moment, which actually would have been unbelievable 20 years ago, if you like.
Yeah.
And that was England's women winning the Euros of 2022 and the sort of celebration and acclaim that it got.
Oh, amazing. You know, it was just what the country needed at the right time in 2022. We'd been through the pandemic and football brightens everyone's life, or virtually everyone's life, and the ladies doing so well in the Euros at Wembley as well, you know, against Germany as well.
And going to extra time.
But avoiding penalties. It was just great. From that first Ella Toon goal created by the Kira Walsh, who was brilliant, got the person of the match, how do you say it these days?
Yeah, that'll do. Player of the match, yeah.
The player of the match, yeah. That's it. She was brilliant. And Jill Scott, who I've got to know really well over the last couple of years, she was brilliant, a tower of strength. And then that goal, you know, by the super sub, Chloe Kelly, you know, stabbed it in from a corner, and we're on our way. And it was just magical. And it changed quite a lot of people's opinions.
Let's leave Joey Barton out of this discussion.
Women's football. And, you know, I've loved it, you know, since. I've worked with so many good women who know their football at Sky, Claire Tomlinson, to name just one.
Yeah, with Michelle Owen.
Yeah.
Bianca Westwood.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Alex Scott, of course, made a debut on Goals on Sunday for one season. And so for the women's football to come on like it has is great. And I think the biggest thing that has helped is the way they play now. The way the men's game is and the way the women's game is, it's similar now. You know, there's no more crunching tackles or heavy tackles anymore. You just play. And the standard has been brilliant.
It's amazing to think, you know, a couple of decades ago, let's say, you could never have imagined 87,000 people at Wembley to watch a women's game. And you just couldn't, could you? And that Chloe Kelly celebration has become iconic, hasn't it, when she took her shirt off?
Yeah. But it was great. It was just, we had the whole family around watching the game and, you know, role models for all these young girls. And football has always been an inclusive game, and now it's even more than that.
Yeah, brilliant. Your second unbelievable moment, I'm going to take you back a long, long way. And you must have been just a kid when Jeff Hurst scored his hat-trick. Can you remember where you watched it at?
Yeah, I watched it round at Dennis Newsome's house in Middlesbrough, in Park End, Middlesbrough. We didn't have a telly then, Jeff, yeah. we got a telly the following year, a Ready Fusion one.
Ah, well, let me tell you that our television was broken and we were waiting for the Ready Fusion man to turn up with a replacement. And he was coming on the morning of the World Cup. And boy, it was a tense wait, I'll tell you that, before he turned up at around lunchtime, something like that. Yeah. Black and white, of course it was, not colour, but...
Yeah, black and white, yeah. You used to put the 2 shillings in the back of the telly to get the to work, right? And then you had to wait 5 minutes. The voice came through first, the sound.
Yeah.
And then you had to bang the top of the telly and the picture came.
Yeah, people won't believe it. The phrase, we used to have to warm up the TV. Warm up the TV, and it took forever to do it, didn't it?
But
look, it was worth it, wasn't it? Because an afternoon it turned out to be.
I watched the 66 Cup final normally once a year because I love it. Absolutely love it. We were absolutely brilliant in that final, even though... people might not remember this. We went a goal behind in that game. And so you thought, oh, gosh, the Germans have been great. They've got top quality players and they're going to beat us and all that. But Jeff Hurst was, well, to score a hat-trick in a World Cup final, it's only ever been done... twice, Jeff Hurst and your man in France.
Yeah, but Jeff Hurst.
Kylian Mbappe, yeah.
But Jeff is the only one to score a hat-trick on a winning team.
Winning team, yeah, you're right, Jeff, yeah. VR would probably look at the dodgy goal, the second one, and rule it out, whether it's over the line or not.
Jeff will tell you that it was definitely over the line, because otherwise Roger Hunt would have tapped it in
I'm with him on that. We're talking about viewing figures now, Jeff. 32 million people in the UK watch that game.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's the biggest TV audience ever in history. Yeah, whether it be light entertainment or whatever. So the whole country virtually watched that game, which was incredible. Right, and my love for football went from there. In the first 5 minutes of that game, you'll see Big Jack Charlton down on the right wing trying to cross a ball into the box. You know, people say the game's evolved and changed, and no, it's the same game. You know, Alan Ball covers more ground than anybody else on that pitch in extra time and normal 90 minutes. He's everywhere, absolutely everywhere. Watch the game again. That's all I can say to people. It's a great game. England's biggest triumph. Yes, the girls won the Euros, but the World Cup is the biggest tournament.
Yeah, wonderful memories. Remember running out of the house at the end of it in my short trousers, you know, just to celebrate because everyone was out in the streets.
My dad was probably the only person in Middlesbrough that particular time or who I had any dealings with who was nonplussed. He wasn't, football wasn't his bag. He was pleased, I think, because I was pleased, but that was it.
I hope you're enjoying the show. We can't do it without you. If you're listening to us on your favourite podcast platform, please press follow to make sure we're in your feed every week. Look, unbelievable moment number 3 was the red card for Anthony van den Boer that the match reporter missed. And who could that have been?
I say that, Jeff, because it has to be in my top five, because basically it's one of those unforgettable moments.
How often are you asked about it?
Constantly, yeah. If I'm on the train today, when I'm going home, someone will mention the missing the sending off, or talk, you know, I don't know, Jeff, or whatever. They'll bring that up. But basically, we'll live forever with that sequence of events. I couldn't believe what you were saying to me, and you probably couldn't believe what I was saying to you. I didn't know what was going on. Yeah.
But I know you regard it as the sort of moment that launched you into a different level, if you like, in yeah. terms of the media and TV yeah. personality.
Yeah, it did, yeah. Honestly, I'd done loads of TV stuff until then. But once that happened, the phone never stopped ringing. Can you do this show? Can you do that? Will you present this show? And I'm not Jeff Stelling, you know. You know, I don't do any prep. What happens comes off the top of my head. They realise that once they've signed me up.
Brazil 4, Italy 1.
Oh.
Tell us about that. Why does that make your unbelievable list?
The best game of football I have ever seen in my life, Jeff. I know the memories are clouding and people say to you, well, football's better now. You look at, just watch that game. The front five of Brazil, right? Oh. Tostão, Rivelino, Jairzinho, Gerson, and the great Pelé. Added to that, Clodoaldo behind them, Carlos Alberto, Felix the Cat in goal. You know, I could go on and go on. Watch that game for anyone who's not seen it. Watch that game. Watch Pelé doing dummies and doing step-overs and all sorts. And then come back and tell me he is not the greatest player ever to play the game. He started the mold. I have heard people questioning some of the goals he scored for Santos and stuff. Where you can only beat the opposition, what's in front of you. Watch the videos of the greatest player ever.
What they can't question, Cammy, is his record for Brazil, 77 goals in 92 games. And Brazil, in those days, you didn't play Liechtenstein, you didn't play Luxembourg, yeah. you just played the best teams in the big tournaments. So that is 77 in 92 against yeah. top teams. It's incredible.
Honestly, Jeff, what a final. What an absolute great game that was. You know, Italy did well to get back in the game. You know, initially, I can't remember who scored their goal.
Doesn't matter anymore because they lost 4-1, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. But what a great game. And yeah. the Carlos Alberto goal, you know, set up by Pelé was the icing on the cake.
You may have heard that NordVPN is an essential cybersecurity tool which protects all your personal data whilst online. But did you know it could save you money? With NordVPN, you can take advantage of cheaper pricing in other countries by switching your location with one click. For example, if you're going on holiday, you can book flights, hotels, and rental cars via another region and take advantage of the cheaper prices in that region. NordVPN is the same price as a cup of coffee a month. But with these savings, NordVPN essentially pays for itself. To grab our huge discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/fgpod. This code will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the episode description box. The next unbelievable moment, not necessarily one that a lot of Englishmen want to remember, but it was unforgettable.
Yeah.
We all talk about the hand of God, but
yeah,
two Maradona goals, one of which in particular was incredibly special.
Yeah, yeah. The second goal was probably the best World Cup goal I've ever seen. You know, people might say, well, look at this goal or look at that goal. But Maradona doing, you know, what he did best in those days, he went past Peter Beardsley first, then Pete Reed. We never let Reedy forget it.
I was going to say, they're all delighted to be getting a mention here now, Beardo yeah. and Peter Reed.
Yeah, absolutely. Then Terry Butcher, and then Terry Fenwick. And, of course, Terry Butcher got back to save the day, but Maradona just skipped round him and then scored. It's a brilliant goal. It broke my heart, I have to say, you know, because England were knocked out, but it was a great goal. And I never knew. We were watching the game in a bar in Palmanova. Me and right. Anne and our two sons, Ben and Jack, watching the bar, and we never knew he handled the ball.
You didn't?
For the first goal. You know what the TV analysis was like back in those days?
Oh, very different.
Or the replays and stuff. You didn't see anything, you know? So we couldn't understand what all the fuss was about at the end of the game, you know? So, of course, we soon found out what it was all about. And, yeah, of course, it would have been a different situation now, but hey-ho, we can't change it.
Yeah, with VAR, they might have ruled it out, but you never know these days, do you? So.
No, you don't. Yeah, honestly, you don't. With the people who work, the technology is fine, Jeff. It's the people who are looking at it.
Before we come on to your fifth, Willie, it's actually sixth because we've got sort of joint one in there. Before we come on to your fifth unbelievable moment, I'm just going to throw one in as well. And it was a moment that we shared because we were together in Sapporo for England against Argentina when Michael Owen went tumbling and David Beckham scored the penalty. I mean, that was a special moment, wasn't it?
Oh, wasn't it just one of our greatest, as fans, our greatest moment watching them abroad, won it. It was just brilliant. You know, I can remember that trip, Jeff. We went to Kyoto to see the temples. You took me into two. You'd promised Liz, your wife, that you weren't just going for the football, you'd take in culture. So you said to me, we're going to a couple of temples. I went, you what? What bar's that?
Yeah.
So I followed you there. And we, to be honest, the temples were beautiful.
Oh, they were magnificent, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But after you'd done two, you'd seen them all.
Yeah.
And we had the most awesome trip ever. And we got the bullet train to Sapporo.
Oh,
do you remember?
Yeah, very much so. I should say, by the way, by then, for a bit of exercise, Cammy and I and our producer, Ian Condren, we'd gone for a run around Kyoto. And Cammy being a former specialist athlete, you know, specialist footballer and things. I mean, I thought I could run in those days. but I couldn't keep up with you, neither could Ian Condren. And so the ultimate humiliation was that Cammy decided he would hop rather than run. And we still couldn't keep up with you.
Oh, that was funny.
Actually, at Sapporo, on the, you know, having got there on the bullet train, what I do remember vividly, is the clock in the stadium, because England scored in the first half.
Yeah.
You couldn't keep your eyes off that clock as to how slowly it was ticking round.
Yeah, it was. But that was a special trip, man, going to Japan at that time, spending all that time with you and Kondo was great. I wish we could do it again, Jeff.
I do hope you're enjoying the show. I just want to tell you that you can follow us at Football's Greatest Pod on Instagram, TikTok and Facebook. And search for Football's Greatest Pod to find us on X. Look, let's get on to number five. It's a moment that everybody remembers. And it comes from 1990 and involves one of England's favourite sons in terms of football, I would think, in Gazza.
Oh, yeah, Gazza. At 23 years old at that time, he was probably one of the best players in the world. I would say in the top three at that time. I would have had him top, but there'll be other people that come back and say, what about Maradona? What about him, you know? What about Messi? Yeah, they're all great, but Gazza was at the top of his game then. Italia 90 was just amazing. You know, it was something else. Gary Lineker was scoring goals for fun and we were on our way, weren't we? It was our destiny and Gazza was at the forefront. And you remember when he got that yellow card, iconic, and Gary Lineker looking towards Bobby Robson on the bench and pointing his fingers towards his eyes and saying, look at Gazza. And it was an upsetting moment watching Gazza getting upset on the football pitch and realising his World Cup would have been over. He wouldn't have played in the final, but hey, you know, what a player, you know. Yeah, that was his only World Cup, would you believe? Never played in another one. Yeah.
Yeah, that is incredible, because we didn't qualify in 94 and Glenn didn't take him in 98.
Yeah. Which was heartbreaking once again for him,
I mean, he wrote afterwards about that event. He said, you know, as the referee reached for his card, he said, my world just stopped.
Mm.
And it's quite a you know, emotive description, I think, as well, because he had been so good, 99 minutes on the clock. Bobby Robson said it was only half a booking. I don't know. I can't really remember the incident too much because all the focus was on what happened afterwards, you know. But Gazza was such a wonderful player, and we still remember those great moments, the fantastic goal, you know, against Scotland at Wembley, and he just lit up everything, didn't he? But in some ways, he never internationally quite got the platform he deserved, did he, really?
No,
that
not
was
at all.
That was the platform, and it was ripped away from him.
Yeah, you know, if it hadn't have been for that injury in the final against Nottingham Forest, Gazza would have ruled the world out in Lazio. You know, he would have absolutely shone through, and, you know, these things happen. People say for a reason and stuff. Well, it was a pretty bad reason if it happened to Gazza. But, yeah, we missed out on seeing the best of Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah, we may have missed out on lifting a World Cup as well, because, as you say, against the Germans, Gazza had been fantastic. Who knows what would have happened in the remaining minutes? History might have been completely different.
The games came so easily to Gazza. I know he worked so hard at it, but that's what all great players do. They work, but when you watch them on the pitch, they make the game look easy.
Cammy, thanks for those 5, 6, 7 unbelievable moments, however many that it was. We're not going to split hairs about how many there were. Enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
Don't forget to listen to episode 1, where we discuss greatest football partnerships. Remember to subscribe to the show on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcast platform. Next time on Football's Greatest. Matt Letizia recalls his toughest ever opponents.
Honestly, when we played against each other, we just, both of us used to end up getting yellow cards because we'd just be fighting each other off when the ball was like 40 yards away and he's still elbowing me. Idiot. So I think, yeah, from that point of view, he was the most annoying defender. And he's probably very proud of that fact.
Thanks for joining us. Football's Greatest is a Folding Pocket production with BBC Studios.